Blog Talk
Good evening,
Radio.
Dustin. Good evening, beloved. This is Brother Lee. Talk Blog Radio. Reaching from Chicago, Illinois, USA. I, the servant of Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, the crucified, victorious one, do celebrate this day and this moment and this privilege given to me. Share the unsearchable riches, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I celebrate this privilege given to me. So to everyone that have listening, I hope in every place or in every nation or any community or any person, they might benefit. We're just going to have a heart-to-heart, face-to-face talk of sharing some of the glorious things about our Lord Jesus, who is coming in the twinkling of an eye very soon. I would like to say to you that one of the great prophecies that must come to pass is Elijah, from the Greek to the Hebrew to the English, must first come, it is written. If you read the Gospel of Matthew 17 chapter, and the Gospel Matthew's 11 chapter, Luke 7, and Luke chapter 1, and Malachi 4, and Malachi 3, you'll see that Elijah, that prophet, must first come preceding the coming of our Lord this second time. Now, Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, crucified, risen, and victorious at the right hand of the Father, I acknowledge you and the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the teacher, the revealer, the empowerment. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, I come and offer this offering unto you that it may be acceptable in your sight, that you might be glorified, magnified to this end time message of hope and deliverance and salvation. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that as your understanding shall be enlightened, the riches of the glory of the Him that have hope in the cross and in His death and resurrection. The Lamb, Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you. We pray that in every place someone shall receive light, hope, and faith, and an answer to their need in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just actually, as I was in Chicago, I don't know, in USA, and we're hopefully that maybe someone is listening far and wide. We're called to share the gospel, the good news, to every place and every person, every community. So we have this privilege on this radio talk blog. Thank God for our brother Emmanuel Murphy, who God used to open this door. We're grateful for the man of God, the preacher, the teacher, ferocious like John the Baptist, Brother Nathaniel Hunt of Durant, Mississippi, and Brother Keeving, Bruce, the expositor of the kingdom and the soon coming king, Brother Keeving, Bruce Rockford. We appreciate our brother and sister Helen Teagle, our missionary evangelist woman, and Sister Lutlun Anderson, the faithful pioneer and faith, a woman who's steadfast and of the faith of God and the hope of Christ and her husband. Grateful for this moment, and I'm thankful in every place where there is turmoil and conflict and havoc and tribulation arising all over the world, the time of God's judgment is upon mankind. As written in the scriptures, the hour of God's judgment, Isaiah 24, Isaiah 16, Joel chapter 2, we're seeing the rising of the judgment of God upon the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. But more than that, we see the time of the arising, Isaiah 60, for the light of the glorious gospel, the undoubtedly pure gospel being restored to the earth. And to every nation it is to be carried. This is another thing. I know a lot of people have been teaching that Jesus could come in a moment, but I'm very doubtful of that. That he is coming soon, and any moment I don't quite go along with that, because there's too many scriptures yet unfulfilled that must be fulfilled before he comes again. One of the scriptures in Matthew chapter 24 is this gospel of the kingdom. There is a slight difference between the gospel that's been preached of repentance and redemption and the last message that Jesus spoke about emphatically in Matthew 24, 12 to 14, this gospel of the kingdom. Now, that's a particular message because he emphasized that it, speaking about the end time to a disciple. And when they was asking Jesus, what about the end time? When shall he come again? What are the signs leading to his coming? And he began to lay it out to them in Matthew 24, but Revelation 6 also tells you the same thing. He said this gospel, at the crowning touch before he comes, he talked about many false prophets, false religions, false apostates, false, even the Antichrist, at the end time or at the last dispensation, the church age. And he making this important announcement, this gospel. I thought that, you know, we all, you know, the people already in the 11th hour, they're preaching the Bible. They already had they had the gospel of redemption. People could get saved and redeemed. But there's a particular message that Jesus talked about, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Then shall the end come. So, beloved, nobody got any time to waste. You should come to Christ today. He could call you home. So you got no time to shatterbox. You need no time to faint around, mess around. You need to make a decision about salvation and redemption of your soul today. If you got that opportunity, don't throw no snake eyes, no dice. You're rolling on the wrong thing about your soul for eternity. That's not you want to roll on. Well, I got time. No, you don't have time. God gave you time to live today. No, I got time. No, you don't got time. God orders time. So let's get that straight. Well, I got plenty of time. Who giving you all this plenty of time? Are you the creator, the maker? Oh, I got a whole lot of time. I'm too young. We're living in a generation where Isaiah 39 and Proverbs 1 tells about young men fainting and being cut off in their youth. And so we see the evil is increasing mightily, and even young people are dying and running and fainting and not reach their mark. So don't let be tricked. Don't be tricked. The few moments of pleasure that never said he's going to give you ain't worth eternity being lost. Well, bro, this is the way I look at it, bro. Yeah, you can look at it like that, bro. When death knock on your door, you talk to him like that and see what he got to say. Well, give me a little more time, bro. I gave time. God said I gave you time. So I'm beseeching you, dear brother, use the time and make the major decision. If you don't make any other decision, the major one most important decision that all human beings need to make. That's why Christ's blood atonement was made, that you make that decision to receive Christ, to believe on him and repent and surrender your heart and be born again and washed in the spirit, washed in the blood, cleansed and washed. Gospel of John, chapter 3. No, I didn't make that up. It's not my doctrine. Read it. No, I didn't make it up. Go and read the chapter of John. You must be born again. Now, listen. There is so much chaos, confusion among nations now that Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 before he left the earth. Emphatically, he explained the conditions of the earth and the nation just prior to his coming. And he talks about two things in particular, the atonement, redemption, and reconciliation. And he talks about the last message, the last warning to the earth, which is called the Midnight Cry, Matthew 25. And he said this first message would go to the churches. Hallelujah. Because judgment must first begin at the house of God. There has to be a cleansing, a deliverance in the churches, a returning to the old landmark, an awakening of the churches first, and a revival of cleansing the house of God and getting the people of God to call itself the church. Now, I want you to know that he's concerned about every person. If you're in a foreign land, far from America, or in lands across the sea, and you're suffering so much difficulties in your land or in your community or in your government, because many nations are not Christian Bible-believing nations. They may be good people and wonderful people and great people in many ways, but most of the earth is not yet Christian or what we call the believers that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, that he's the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, and that his blood was shed. I keep remembering bringing this because a lot of people don't understand how redemption, how the fallen man in the garden, how he's going to be rescued, how he's going to be recovered, how he's going to be redeemed, how he's going to be delivered. It is through the life, blood, death of Christ, Yeshua, the Holy Messiah. That's how you're going to be redeemed. He paid the price, his blood, his atonement. And he rose on the third day, because if he didn't get up, you would have no hope to live again. So the resurrection is very important, because if Jesus did not defeat death in the grave, we could not get up and live with him. So that's very important. I want to say, as we talk today, because my heart is with the people that are suffering all these different lands, and whether they're in Asia, Asia Minor, whether they're in the Far East, the Middle East, in South America, in parts of Europe with much suffering, and men being persecuted, especially for the teachings of Christ. Many people are dying because they believe the Bible. In the other lands, and many lands have strong religious beliefs like Islam, or one of the strongest people, and they don't allow the Bible, the teachings about Jesus being the way, the truth, and life, and Redeemer. You get killed for that. But then you got Buddhism, and you got so many tribal religions and cultures in Asia, and in Far East and Far West. And I'm not trying to say these people don't mean, but they're good people, but they just haven't heard the gospel, the redemption of Christ. They're wonderful people, many nations, are honest people seeking the way. They just haven't heard the gospel of Christ, the redemption of all mankind. Now, listen, I'm just going to share a few things today. The practical side of love. I want to talk about the practical side of the love of God. We talk about heaven and eternal life, and that's the most important part. And that is the most important part, but there is another part to the gospel that's called the here and now, where we live under the here and now. And the gospel, I want you to read the most important part. I don't want to leave out the most important part of the message of the gospel, the good news. And I want to read this because I want you to decide for yourself that I'm not making this up. And I'm not trying to, you notice I don't ask for any money. I don't have no particular schemed a rock or a glass of water or cloth. I do believe in prayer cloths given to you freely. Because that's part of the scripture, but without any price, without any scam to it. I'm not asking you to send me any money. I don't have no program where you send me $10, $20. I don't refuse anybody giving. They feel they don't want to support the ministry or support the gospel. I don't refuse that because there are expenses in the earth. There's poor, hungry, needy. The work of the Lord must be financed to take the gospel. Because when you get on a train or bus or a literature or a house of God, you're going to have to pay. They're not going to say, oh, it's all free. No, you're going to have to pay. But I don't believe in any scams. I believe God is able to provide if you just obey. Jesus will provide. I want to read something, the important part of the gospel, so you'll know, understand that I'm not omitting the most important part about the gospel, the redemption of your soul and your spirit from sin and death. The first epistle of John, first epistle of John, chapter 5. Chapter 5. I'm going to start. It's so much wonderful part of this fifth chapter, but you have to read it on your own time. I want to start verse 9, chapter 5, 1-9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Verse 9, first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. Now, if you're a Christian, born again, saved, sanctified, you have the witness in yourself, in your spirit, in your life, living in you. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God has, present tense, the witness in himself right now that he's redeemed, that he's forgiven, that he's delivered, that he's been washed, that he's accepted of God. The witness of the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Word of God in you now. He that truly believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, he that believeth not that God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. See, everything points to the Son of God. Everyone's hope, desires, and every hope of eternity and redemption is pointing to the Son of God who came in the world over 2,000 years and died on the cross, shed his blood, buried our iniquity, and rose on the third day and ascended to heaven and is coming back again. Everything. So if you're anywhere in the world and they don't allow you to read the Bible, or you're in fear of your life, or you have not heard of the glorious gospel that Jesus came to redeem us from sin and death, sickness, disease, and take us to heaven to reign with him when we die, if you're in Christ, if you're redeemed, if you're repentant, if you're born again, if Christ is in the witness in your life. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. Because what? You have not believed the report that the Son of God came in sinful flesh to condemn sin, died for our sin, as Isaiah 53 said, and rose again on the third day. And in him is life. Now listen to this verse, verse 11. And this is the record, the written record on earth, that God, you want to call him Yahweh Elohim, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. This is one of the most important revelations in the whole Bible, the whole existence of this world in this now generation. And this is the record that Yahweh has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that has the Son has life. I don't care about what color you are, what pedigree you are, what nation you come from, what color you are. All flesh are under sin. You came out of Adam, Romans 3. You're under the nature of sin. You're cut off. You inherit sin in your nature. You're cut off from the presence of God through Adam's sin. Romans chapter 5. This is the record that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. He that has, present tense, now in him, the Son He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now, if you are a Jew, a physical Jew, a biological Jew, Paul explained this in Romans 3, Romans 5, Romans 6, and Galatians 3. If you are a natural-born Jew, a chosen people of Abraham, a natural physical Jew, you can't get into heaven. I don't care whether they tell you that it's okay, you're a Jew, or you're Abraham's seed by the flesh. You cannot, whether you're Jew or Gentile, born or free, rich or poor, cannot get into heaven or have eternal life if you don't have the Son of God. If I make a mistake and tell you because you are God's chosen by faith, because of Abraham, he chose Abraham and he chose his seed to be a special people, which he would bring salvation, the word of God, to the earth, but that all Jews by flesh, blood, are cut off just like Gentiles. So don't think just because you are a Israelite, a Jew by physical blood, and have not been redeemed by the blood, the pure blood of Jesus Christ, that you have life. I hate to see these evangelists on TV leave it out and make the Jews think that they're okay, they're God's chosen people, and never tell them they're lost and sinners, and that Christ, the Messiah, one day rejected, is the way to eternal life. If they fail to tell them that, they're leaving out the most important part of the gospel. So when I tell you that they're God's chosen people by the faith of Abraham, because why are they chosen? Because of Abraham's faith. Because he was accepted of God and God chose his seed to be a blessing. But they have to repent and be born again just like everybody else. Verse 12, he that has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son of God, the Spirit of God has not revealed the Son of God in your life today, you have death in you, spiritual death. I want to think of a kinder way, a gentle way, a nicer way, without hurting your dear little feelings, because now people go out of their way who intended to offend people, but the gospel is good news. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be separate from God. You don't have to miss eternal life. It's the best news you're going to get. You're going to be reconciled to God. You can be redeemed. Notice I did not say anything about religion, because Satan has used religion to blind and deceive people. But here we're talking about a relationship with the living God, a fellowship with Christ. Okay, now, verse 12, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Well, you say, I got my name on the church book. I'm a choir director. I'm a deacon. I'm a this. I've been to the school. I got doctorate degrees and PhD degrees. That's wonderful. That's great. He that has not the Son of God, I don't care what church denomination you belong to, shake your hand, you're a great elite leader. If you have not repented and been born again and have the Son of God living in you, you don't have life. I don't care what degree you have, whether you're the president of the governor or the mayor, all flesh have sinned under the sin curse. Ephesians 2, you're dead, spiritually cut off. But when you were born with the nature of Adam through sin, read Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 5 and 6, and the glorious news in Romans 8. Get to the glorious part, the glory part. Now you say, you're kind of harsh and rude. Well, if I don't tell you and share with you this truth, it tells you two things. I don't love you, and I don't love God. I'm not going to tell you the churchy stuff. You good, you nice. You may be all of that, educated, fun, business-like, intelligent. But you're cut off by your nature. You're a sinner. The most brilliant man, Einstein, can't get in. Mother Teresa, the Pope, can't get in, baby. No one can get in without the blood, the atonement blood, covering your sins, being born of the water and the spirit. No one, uncle, cousin, Republicans, Democrats, socialists, sinners, of all sinners. Make no difference what kind of sinner you are. You're born in sin. You say, well, I don't do nothing bad. You're born in sin with a sinful nature. You're cut off. You're dead. Ephesians said your spirit is dead. Your spirit is dead to God, dead to righteousness. You're in darkness. Satan is your daddy. So you get in the kingdom of God. Verse 13. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Go back to Jesus again. Y'all trying to get away. Think. It is not enough for you to believe that Jesus is a prophet, nor a good man. There is no saving power in that. For Jesus, we believe, we overhear him in Rascution, Rishi Rashari. We believe in Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? Did he die for your sin? Bear your iniquity and rose on the third day? And that he's the only way he can redeem you and deliver you? If you don't believe that, you're still lost. I don't care about what you believe that Jesus is, a prophet. That has no saving power. No prophet can save you. Only one could die and redeem you. Read the book. Read the book, beloved. Well, we got all these religions. Look, what do you think Jesus came to resolve all this confusion and deception about religion, what people are trusting in? He said, I'm the door. John 10. This is the good side. Jesus said, I am the door, not doors. All these different millions of it, I am the door. Jesus said in John 10, I am the door. Do you know what a door, when you come into your house, a door? Some people try to crawl in through the window. They're going through other religious ways, every ideology trying to crawl in. Well, I'm going to get to God this way. I'm going to get redeemed. No, Jesus said, my way, the Lord's way, the death on the cross, the blood, the resurrection, putting your faith and trust and confessing me as Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being washed in the blood of Jesus, born again. John 3, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, brother, I don't have to breathe. You know, you don't. I'm not trying to force you. I'm only sharing with you because I'm commanded. I have a commander in chief, Isaiah 43. He's my only leader, witness, and commander. Who is his name? Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of the house, the great shepherd, the holy Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the Lion of Judea, the Lamb slain from the foundation world, the bright and morning star, chief witness, the Word of God. These things I've written to you, verse 13, ye that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. I want you to read this scripture about people say you can't know. This thing about luck. Well, I'm just hope I'm, you know, I'm lucky. I maybe no. Well, I don't want to make fun of these people because I love them. But Islam, they have the only way they can be guaranteed to go to paradise, they're told that the only way they can be guaranteed is they have to die in a holy jihad war. So they go and blow themselves up, kill the enemy, and blow themselves up, and they say, that's the way I'm absolutely sure I'm going to get to heaven. Well, I'm sorry they're going to be disappointed. I don't know if the Buddhists and the Hindus talk, but God loves them, and he's going to send the gospel to them to rescue them. Verse 13, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And wow, now I told you the most important part of the gospel. I'm going to share with you the now and here, a little few things about the now and here on the earth where we live. It's more to the gospel than that. The devil want to cheat us and rob us, but I'm going to share with you some of the things, a few things, about the here and now where you live, the practical side while we live in this earth. The gospel, the word gospel comes from, translated from the Greek or from the word originally, mean good news or glad tidings. I like the translation of the word gospel mean good, glad tidings. You know, when the angel came to the shepherds in the field in Luke chapter 2, and they began to sing, and they began, angels began to sing and said about glad tidings to they be on the earth. And they said, until you're born this day in the city of David, Yeshua, Hamashua, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. And they said, good tidings, glad tidings. So the gospel is the best news you're going to get in this earth. Oh, I didn't say anything about religion. Don't confuse me, beloved. I didn't say anything about religion. You're all trying to mix religion with the gospel. The gospel is talking about redemption and a relationship and a reconciliation to the living God. Romans 5, being reconciled. Hallelujah. Being sanctified, purified, and be born again, not physically, but your spirit being born of God, your inward man that live in his body. The practical side of the gospel. We're going to talk about the practical side. The important part I just told you about eternal life and you having a personal relationship, being born again, being a child of God. But the gospel is threefold. The here and now. What is the benefit of the here and now? Why I live for God on this earth, like preparing to meet him, getting ready, the dressing up room. Jesus is concerned about you knowing the here and now where you live, your time on the earth, the practical side of life. God is concerned about all details of your life on this world. I want to read you a scripture in Jeremiah 29. I'm not going to be able to read a lot of scripture today, but I want you to just go to Jeremiah 29 and to see about your Heavenly Father. He's now become your Father through the birth in Christ. And I want you to know the practical side of he's a good father, he's a good dad, he's our Lord, our Redeemer through Christ, but he's now your real father. You're his real son and daughter through the new birth. Not shaking the preacher's hand, not joining the church. You don't become a child of God that way. You may join that church, but that's not how you get redeemed. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith Jehovah, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Thou shalt call upon me, you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto thee. Now listen to what he said. This is one of the most beautiful and practical side about living in the earth when you become a bona fide child of God. His thoughts towards you is to do you good. Now, all this evil happened to you, it's not coming from him. Now, don't confuse what the devil is doing in the earth. Confuse that it's God doing this to you. Now, your sins and your rebellion against God can bring these things on you, cause these things to be. You know why all this terrible and troublesome and sorrows and messed up water and air and people mess up? Because they have rejected and turned against the true and the living God and rejected Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. And now America is in a fix because she's supposed to be a Christian nation, and she's rejecting as a corporate nation, a people, even men of the churches, failing, rejecting, compromising, and refuse to accept the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Compromising. Sin. Called sin, rebellion, transgression, ignoring the word of God. Want to live any way they want. Dogs and cats and animals don't have the law of God, not made in the image and likeness of God. Dogs, they go and have sex around there, and they just live like dogs and beasts because they are animals. The law is not given to them. We are made in the image of God. We're called human, and we're made in his likeness, and he gave us laws of life. And Adam violated that law and brought sin, death, sickness, disease, and poverty on the earth, and a separation for all flesh. But his thoughts towards us is to do us good. Jeremiah said his thoughts are always good because God is a good God. His thoughts That's why he sent his son. If he wasn't a good God, when man rebelled, he'd just wipe you out and kill you and send you all to hell. Because he so loved us, Ephesians chapter 2, he was rich, but God's so good. Rich in mercy and kindness, he sent his son. Oh, wow. But his love was so oversharing. He did not want us to go to hell and be cut off. He provided a way for us to get back, to be reconciled, to be redeemed, to be rescued, to be redeemed by his own blood, his own life, of his own son. He shared his love by sharing his only begotten son to give his life that we might live. This now and present, he's concerned. He wanted to do your good, your time on the earth. This is a practical sign. Your heavenly father wants you to have the good side of life. God is concerned about not about all the details of your life. His thoughts towards you. You can read Psalms 98, Psalms 96. Just go through all the scriptures and see the good things he wanted to do for Israel. Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 29, 32, 33. You see, oh, he wanted to do good things for Israel. He chose Israel in the beginning. Now he's chosen the redeemed church because Israel rejected him, but they're going to be recovered. Many of them are going to come back to him, but many of them not. So the Jews have a decision to accept the Messiah. Not only go back to the land, possess the land, but you got to possess heaven, brother. I mean, the land is one thing. God gave them the land because he said, I'll take you back to the land without repentance. They got the land in 1940 without repentance. Until they still haven't rejected Jesus as the Messiah, many of them. But this is the day that many of them will, eyes will come up and they will see the Messiah and they will be washed in the blood and they'll inherit eternal life just like anybody else will. He's concerned about the Jews, the promise made to him, the natural Jews. But he also had respect to the redeemed spiritual Jews. You don't know who those are. That's the redeemed church. Romans 4, Galatians 3. Ephesians chapter 5, we are the spiritual sons of Abraham. Hallelujah, by faith, through faith, the gospel. That's how we inherit the promises of Abraham, Jesus Christ, the Holy Messiah. The practical side, your father is a good dad. Your father is a good God. But he's also a just and a righteous God and a holy God. The sinner said, God is a good God, but he's still unredeemed. The sinner said, yes, he could give me food, clothes, shelter, but I'm still redeemed. God get me, help me, educated me, and provided needs for me. He ran on the just and read of the unrighteous. He provided all these things in life, even though the sinners that have rejected him, he's provided all this mercy and kindness, but they're still redeemed, unredeemed, lost. But he shows his goodness towards us. He shows, while we're yet in sin, while we're in darkness, Romans 5, Christ gave his life for the whole world, though they were enemy to God by nature. They're enemies to God by nature. Enemies to God by nature. That's why when the Holy Spirit comes, it changes your nature. You become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. When the Holy Spirit comes, you become a new creature, a new creation, recreation in Christ. The Father is a good God, but he's a just and a holy and righteous God. He has condemned sin. Those that won't come out of sin to be born again, the wages of sin is eternal death. God is a good God. He wanted a family. I said, Lord wanted a family in the beginning. He put Adam, read chapter 1 and 2 and 3 of Genesis. He created a blessed place. He wanted a family, and he placed a family in the earth because he wanted children. He wanted a family. He wanted to show his love, his joy, and for them to return their love and joy to him by choice. He wanted a family. The church of Jesus Christ is called the family of God, born again. The body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, we are the body of Christ. We're his children. He wants sons so he can communicate with and bless in this earth to show his love and his grace to them. In the beginning, he said, let me make a man. Let us make man, us. He wanted a family to give love and receive love, give them the joy and to share. He desired to communicate with man. He made him a helpmate. He saw that man was incomplete, and he needed a helpmeet, a companion. Hallelujah. Just like the Lord wanted a family to communicate, he made man so he could have a companion and communicate also. We are incomplete without our communion with the Father. When we was cut off in sin, we are incomplete. That's why man is searching for happiness in every way on the earth. And Satan supplies every evil, wicked thing, ungodly thing for you to try to find that completeness and that wholeness. And you just can't get it. Everything you do in the earth, you get a billionaire, a millionaire, you try this, you do that, and you're still incomplete and unsatisfied. He give you a few moments of a little sinful pleasure. You say, oh, that's it. He give you, now he want to make everybody in the earth a drug head. And after we all become a drug head, and he want us to be all on drugs and cigarettes and alcohol and try to make, that's why you got so many alcoholics and drug addicts. They're searching for something that they cannot find there. The devil said, look, I got this for you. I want you to have this little pleasure, a few minutes of pleasure here. This is going to get it for you. So he give them little things, you know, okay. Well, God made a man and a woman, and he made man and women to marry and to have children the natural way, female and female. He said, I got another way. Let's try this. This is going to give you some pleasure. Homosexual, two men with men, and women with women, trans. See, the devil just tried all this evil way to try to make man complete and separate. None of these people are satisfied by their sinful way. Because God didn't create that for your happiness. He got a better way for you to know happiness and peace. And so you notice that all these people doing all these strange things in the last days, trying to find completeness and satisfaction. Oh, well, let's have sex with a dog and let's try sex with a woman and then with a man or with a pig. Let's try some hemp. Let's try some heroin. Or let's try some hemp. Let's smoke. Let's do this. Let's go to the racetrack. Let's do this. Let's kill somebody. Get thrills out of that. Let's shoot somebody. Get some thrills out of that. Satan is a killer and a murderer, a deceiver. Revelation 12 and the 12th chapter of Revelation and the 10th chapter of John say he's a killer, demons and devils, and Satan is a murderer. He has no love. He has no life. He has no satisfaction. He can't give you love, joy, peace, happiness, because he don't got it. He don't have it. How can he give you when he don't have it? All he can tell you these make-believe things on the earth, temporary stuff. So many people are messed up looking for that completeness. It's in Christ who makes you whole. Jesus, the living God. He wants to do good. God wanted a family. He created Adam, gave him a wife. Eventually, through the fall, after he failed, he was going to have multiply the earth. He wanted family to have kids. He made a man and a woman. He didn't make all this confusion. We see he made a woman, a man and a woman, a male and a female. Satan, the evil one, has brought all this over the deception, perversion, and wickedness in the earth. These people need deliverance. Get these demons out of them. Those are demon spirits. You can drink some of that demon alcohol will take you over. We prayed for people. The alcohol demon will come out of them, been in them for years. They couldn't quit drinking. And we command that demon of alcohol to come out of nicotine, come out of them. That demon of hate, bitterness, that's a spirit. Jesus came to set you free, that you can live in this earth. Notice what he did. Satan is still walking up and down the earth deceiving. Listen, he wants man to multiply. And he put Adam to tend a beautiful garden. He put him in a wonderful place. God wants you to have to live in beauty. And he doesn't want you to live in raggedy poverty. That's not his will. These things come upon nations when the land is cursed, when they reject the gospel and kill the apostles. Then curse come upon nations that reject the gospel. Hunger, bitterness, when they start serving these idol gods. Read what it says in Psalm 96, Psalm 78. It's going to give you a clue why all this stuff is happening on the earth. And Deuteronomy 28 gives a prime example when he gave Israel, said, I bless you with a land full of milk and honey. Don't you know he gave them the best land, the best opportunity after the sin. He chose Israel and gave them the land. He wanted to be among them, his family Israel. We are the church. We are his Israel now, redeemed church, the adopted sons. Yeah, he still loves the physical Jew. They still have a place in him. But the redeemed people have the greatest authority and dominion in the earth, because they have the power to save and destroy the works of the devil. Now, the natural Jew can't do that yet. They can have the land, but they cannot stop the powers of darkness and evil. They have no authority, no power, because they are still in sin under darkness. Arabs, whatever you are, the seed of Abraham by flesh. You know what it said about flesh? Read Galatians. You may be his by flesh, but you're still under sin, curse of sin. Thank God I love the Jews, that God was using Israel. They used them to bring salvation, the books and the prophets. But they rejected Jesus. They rejected the prophets. They killed them. That's the part that they don't want to talk about. But we had to talk about it. He wanted a family. He gave Israel property and wanted them to have a government on the earth. And gave him a land to come to a place to worship. And he wanted to be the governor over them. The Lord God, I will govern you and build a nation, a kingdom of priests. And he wanted Israel to be an example to the world. But Israel rebelled and sinned and idolatry. They were broken up. Now the Church of Jesus Christ is doing some of the same thing in the last day. He wanted to show his love. He's a holy God and righteous God. And a Listen, he's a just God, but he's holy too. Don't forget that he's holy. No unholy thing going to get in there. Not going in heaven. Follow peace and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Verse 14, I think. Follow peace and holiness without which no man. Listen, he gave Israel property. It's okay. God wants you to own property, your business, your children, to prosper and then be blessed. He gave Israel the best land. Why did he get not the worst one? Because he didn't want his children to have the worst. He wanted to show that his children, his way, was the better way to all the nations. And the righteous, the people of God, are not to seek riches. But let me read you something here about the right way and the wrong way. He taught his people, the Church of the Redeemed, and Israel also, the old Israel. Let me show you what he said primarily before we get out of here about why he wants you to be blessed. He wants you not to be sick in disease. That's not his will. He took all those beating before he went to that hill. He took 39 stripes for your diseases. Because it's not God's will at all that you be sick. He never brought sickness in the world. Sin and Adam brought sickness, disease, and death by his disobedience into the world. God is a good God. He did not introduce it. See, that's all Satan got. Jesus bear our iniquity, bear our sin, sickness, disease, our grief. And you notice he's a good God in the here and now, in the 10th chapter of Acts. Verse 30, he went everywhere healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Why would Jesus do that when he was on the earth? Because that was the will of the Father from the beginning. The 4th chapter, Matthew 8 chapter, they brought him all the sickness in the evening time, and he healed every one of them. He cast out demons, paralytics, insane people, crippled people, cancer people, leukemia people, mental people. He healed all of them, and he cast out many demons. He wants you to know health and wellness and deliverance. He wants you to have peace. While the world don't have any peace, he said, let not your heart be troubled, John 14. My peace I give unto you. See, now you go into the nightclub to get what you can't get you're going to this joint and this inhaling and exhaling, which you can't get. That's death. Not only a physical death, but a spiritual death. You don't have to go to the lottery because God don't deal with luck. He deals with faith, and God is not a man that he should lie. So you don't have to shoot no dice because Satan desires that because that's all he can give you. The lottery, but God's got a better way. Because in while you live, there is a here and now way where you to be blessed. You to walk in peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world. The world don't have no real peace. They have a few moments to step in. But you can have the peace of God living in you because he's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6-8. The peace of God shall keep your heart and your mind. Philippians 4, Paul said, in all that tribulation and persecution, he said, the peace of God will keep you. The love of God you shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5. The love of God is not like the human, frail, weak, selfish love. The love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. That's the way you get it. That human love, you is love them that love them, but that's about where it's going to go. Love my kinfolk and love them that love me. I ain't caring about them other folks. But the love of Christ is a redeeming love that loves all people, irregardless. That's why there's so much racism among people, creeds and cultures, because they have been broken from that hard, hardness hard, what Satan has given them, superior and pride. But then when you come to Christ, he starts healing and delivering you and casting that demon out of you. Because I had it. Man, did I have a thing against the white people. They did for black people. Oh, yes. But they had the evil they did to me. It took Jesus to change. It took Jesus. It's going to take the real Christ to deal with this America now who's divided by racism and culture and class. There is a healing for the Indian in Indonesia to deliver from those gods, from the Islam, from the Buddhists. So there's a deliverance. And this is not only the spiritual side, but the heavenly side. You don't have to be in poverty. You are a son. He wants you to be a son. He makes you a son. As many as receive or believe on him, he calls them sons. 1 John chapter 1, verse 12, Galatians chapter 4. Not just servants alone. The servants know not what his master has. His treasure, but he makes a son, and he gives everything through Christ. All that belongs to Christ belongs to us. Romans 8. We are heirs and joint heirs. You don't have to live poor, just beggars on the earth and ragged, don't have a job, don't have a place, don't have a home. He gave Israel the blessed land. If you will obey me, walk in my statutes, and do what I say, what all this will I do for you. No scamming, no gambling, no lying, no cheating, like business, big business do. No greed, no cutting the corners, but he, a good God, will do for you. I'm going to read this last. Jesus was teaching the laws of the kingdom, Matthew 5, 6, and these are the laws of the kingdom for the children of the kingdom of God. And one of the scriptures says in chapter 6, verse 33, 32, after he explained to them the laws of the kingdom, to the kingdom living, how they could be blessed in the earth here and now. Here and now. Having dominion, having power over sorrow, over grief, over sickness and disease, over sorrow, over storms of life, having the victory and having peace and joy. For the kingdom of God is not of things of this life, but of this world, but love, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That you can have this in the here and now while you live. You can love your enemies. Your enemies don't have power over you. You can forgive. You don't have to be bitter. You can be healed. You can be made whole. He will commune with you. He'll walk with you and talk with you. Here and now, you don't have to be poor. You don't have to be beggarly. If you walk with Jesus, he said all these things. Turn to 6th chapter of Matthew, the here and now. He has things for you here and now, just like Israel, the here and now. Hallelujah. We give glory to Jesus. He's here and now. You ain't got to be a beggar in the street. A house or place don't have to stay. Your children can have a business, an education, the best, but put him first. Put Christ first. Put him first. Put him first. In Matthew 6, as he taught the laws of the kingdom, the here and now. The here and now, beloved. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is ending his teaching on the laws of the kingdom while we live in this earth. He says in verse 30, wherefore if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? Don't spend all your time. Why are you spending all your time worrying, fretting? You know why? Because you have not learned the laws and the ways of God. For all these things do the sinners or the ungodly or the uncovenant people. For your heavenly Father knoweth. Now he's talking about God's people. That's the difference. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But what he tells you to do, priority, what's your priority? Seek ye first. Ask yourself, what's your priority in life? Are you running over there to the Indiana Dunes and Joliet? Think that's God's the way? Do you think Jesus is actually a gambler? Do you really think Jesus is rolling dice and playing lottery and telling you, I got this number for you? Now, come on, beloved. Let's get real. What kind of Jesus are you talking about? The one outside of the Bible or in the Bible? First seek ye, Matthew 6:33. First seek ye, prioritize the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. First seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow. Come on. So you worry, it doesn't mean that God don't want you to do some planning in life, but you're fretting about what the day going to bring. If you're trusting in the word and walking in his light, provision has been made for you. The way has been opened to you in the here and now. Because famine is coming on this world, and the Wall Street going to fall, and the banking system getting ready to fall. But he says in this law to his people, worry not, fret not. Be at peace. Be at peace. When you see all the Wall Street falling, the banking system and job system going to fall, oh, it's doing right now. God is giving you a little reprieve for a few minutes. I know the president, you know, I pray for him. He's going job, job, job. That ain't going to last very long. You're trusting in the White House. I'm afraid you better look to another house. Because this house, America, unless you turn back to Jesus, is getting ready to crumble and fall. If the people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. America is that nation now. He has made provision for you in the here and now. You don't have to have no heart attack, not stroke. You ain't got to take no pill to sleep worrying about this. Put yourself where Jesus can be Lord of your life. And it shall be well. And walk after him and the gospel. This is Brother Lee signing out. The here and now and the hereafter. Jesus really is a provider. And richly will give you all things, you know, even as Christ paid the price to make you sons and daughters. Even there's a practical side to his love. He provided for you now. If you're hungry, if you're sick, you're oppressed. No job, no business, no hope for your children. He richly provides all things. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's true. But you got to walk with Christ, be redeemed by the blood. Love you.